Over the past week or so, we've been talking with various reporters about the names on Romney's shortlist for vice president. Manuel Roig-Francia of The Washington Post started us off last Monday with Marco Rubio.
I don't think there's any question that he's a high-risk, high-reward choice. Great speaker, super dynamic, talks in English and in Spanish equally well.
Convincingly, yes.
Convincingly.
Then on Tuesday, ML Schultze, news director of affiliate station WKSU in Kent, talked about Ohio Senator Rob Portman.
The most important thing is that he is as low-key as can be in a politician. I've never met anyone whose blood pressure seems calmer. And I think that is exactly the kind of thing that is recommending him right now to Mitt Romney.
And then yesterday we heard from Bob Henley, contributing editor to our co-producer WNYC, and he told us about his governor and neighbor in New Jersey, Chris Christie.
You know what? I've got to confess, I want to see Vice President Joe Biden and Chris Christie in a debate to watch both campaigns go insane.
All right. So those three guys are the top three candidates on many people's lists, but we want to get through the rest of the names on there. Joining us now, Atlantic staff writer Molly Ball. She covered the Conservative Political Action Conference, CPAC, a few weeks ago, and that's where conservatives discussed among themselves who they'd like to see on the Republican Party ticket. Molly, welcome back.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So let's talk about maybe numbers 4, 5, and 6, right? Who are the next people down on this list?
Well, lately we're hearing a lot about Tim Pawlenty, who, of course, ran for president unsuccessfully and quit before the primaries began last year. And the former governor of Minnesota, he has really impressed the Romney team by going out there very enthusiastically as a surrogate for Romney, campaigning with him. Was on this sort of bus tour slash Veep Stakes audition that Romney did through the Midwest the other day. So he's someone who I think has moved up a few spots on the list recently. You also hear about people like Senator John Thune. And then if you were to go sort of more toward the long shot end of the list, you sometimes hear about Governor Bobby Jindal in Louisiana, who was at that conference that you mentioned that I covered in Chicago. Paul Ryan, the congressman from Wisconsin who chairs the House Budget Committee. So I think that's probably the longer list of names.
Oh, well, let's kind of get through a few of these. First of all, Tim Pawlenty, many people mention him and Rob Portman in the same breath because they're kind of similar styles, right?
Yeah, in a way, they're cut from the same cloth. They both get that boring rap, right? They're both Midwesterners who have a sort of affable demeanor. Obviously, different backgrounds. Portman was a Bush administration official, and that is seen as one of his downsides, was that he would sort of remind everybody of the Bush administration, which is still relatively unpopular, and that is certainly something the Democrats would bring up if he were on the ticket, is, look, this is evidence that we're just going to go back to the Bush years. Pawlenty doesn't have that baggage. But just like Romney, his background is as a governor, so he wouldn't balance the ticket with, you know, expertise from being in the Senate. He wouldn't bring the sort of budgeting and foreign policy and national experience that you get with a senator.
On the other hand, your article asked, is anybody boring enough to be Mitt Romney's running mate? Meaning, is there anybody who will not outshine Mitt Romney? And it looks like these guys are good fits in that way.
It definitely seems to be the case, and a lot of this, of course, we have to be clear, is rank speculation.
Absolutely.
Not to say tea leaf reading, right? We're sort of conjecturing based on very little evidence because other than Romney's announcement the other day to reassure people that he was, in fact, considering Rubio when it got out that he wasn't. Other than that, he hasn't talked about it. So this is all sort of rumor and speculation. It's not based on nothing, because although Romney likes to claim that he's the only one who knows, they are in the stage of the process where these people are being asked for materials for vetting. So they're being asked for things like tax returns and other records so that people can comb through their backgrounds and make sure there's not going to have a scandal explode after they're named to the ticket. But yes, from what we know about this process, Romney is looking for someone who complements him personality-wise and isn't going to overshadow him. So someone like Christie, who you mentioned, or even Rubio, may just be too dynamic compared to Romney. He would sort of highlight Romney's deficiencies as a speaker and as a dynamic human being himself, and you had that sort of rock star effect with Sarah Palin 4 years ago, where John McCain's rallies would get a couple hundred people, and her rallies would get 10,000.
Yeah.
And that doesn't tend to make the nominee look good.
Ah, the specter of Palin. Is she the reason why there's no females on Romney's list?
I hate to think so. I hate to think that that is the reason. I think it more is a function of the fact that when you look at the class of officials who have the experience and are in the positions to be considered for these for the ticket, there just aren't that many Republican women. There are Republican governors in places like New Mexico and Oklahoma who are well regarded, but they're new. They're still regarded as pretty green, and so while there's always room for a surprise pick, and we can debate why there aren't more Republican female governors and senators.
That's a conversation for another time, Molly.
Reason.
All right, so you were among hardcore conservatives at CPAC a few weeks ago. Who was their favorite?
It was interesting. So Christie spoke, and he just blew the roof off the place. He gave this barn burner of a speech. Everybody was, on their feet. They were so excited. This is about 2,000 conservative activists from the Midwest. But then he did not win the vice presidential straw poll that they held.
Right.
Marco Rubio, who wasn't even there, ran away with the straw poll. So we learned two things from that, I think. From talking to people there, I came to understand that the reason Christie got such a warm reception but didn't win the straw poll was that people didn't think he was going to be anybody's number two. They, I think, also saw this phenomenon I'm talking about where Christie potentially could overshadow Romney on the ticket, and they felt like Christie will have his time, but he's got to be at the top of the ticket. That's just
right.
What he's suited for. Rubio, on the other hand, the other thing we learned from that straw poll and others, which has consistently shown that he's a favorite, is that Rubio has a very strong constituency within the Republican base and among conservatives. They really would like to see him on the ticket.
Well, we'll see what happens. Atlantic Staff writer Molly Ball, thanks so much.
Thank you.
And you can head over to thetakeaway.org/VP, take our VP shuffle quiz, and see what vice presidential running mate best matches your political views.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.